working. We've already entered into our day and our thought life. And sometimes it even creeps into our dreams. And before we know it, we start our day off without God. And we not taking time to thank him for waking us up. And, you know, life has a way of doing that to us. And if you're not careful, you'll put together a number of days like that. And sometimes maybe a year. Sometimes it just gets out of hand. And then what happens is we start to begin to complain, to be downtrodden, to sometimes think that, you know, life is all bad, but life itself is a joy and a gift. Amen. You know, sometimes when we think life is just terrible, there are a whole lot of folks, even locally, maybe even in Stanley Regional, who would love to trade places with you right now. A whole lot of folks who were here last week who would love to be among the living. So we have a lot of things to be joyful for this morning. Subject title this morning, if I can get the click. Yep. There we go. Learning to ask, seek, and knock. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin at verse number 7 and read down through verse number 11. Why are we talking about these things? Because sometimes we just need to go back and refocus on really something that's so important to us that I think most, maybe not all, but most of us really don't realize how valuable prayer is to us and can be to us. Amen. And why do I teach lessons like this? Because I'm at the front of this line. I put myself at the front of this line. I preach this sermon to myself. So if you need some bandages and band-aids, I can loan some out. Because I cut myself up first with this one. Because sometimes we forget what a blessing we have in prayer. Amen. And oftentimes I teach people throwing this thing around loosely, and, you know, so many times, and especially with things like social media, you know, we see things and we see all these prayer requests, and I'm sitting here wondering, and that's great to do it, but I'm sitting here wondering, just how my mind wonders, I wonder this, how many of these people are actually going to pray? Oh, it's just a little nice cliche to say. It is nice to say that for somebody. That makes somebody feel good. But I wonder, just wonder, do we really mean it? I wonder, just wonder, do we realize that God has certain conditions for us to meet, even in regards to our prayer? But we're going to look about it. We're going to look at it for a little while this morning, because I say learning to ask, seek, and knock. These are three things that God requires in all effective prayer, so that he will respond to our prayer. Let's look at what the scripture says. It says this: ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. But what man is there of you, whom his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, would he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Now, if you just take that on the surface, you would think that God is just this big magic genie just waiting to hand it out. Now, I know we're approaching the holiday season. I know some of our younger folks and younger people will never, ever, ever realize the value of a JCPenney or Sears catalog at this time of year. I don't know about you, but right around this time, boy, I wore pens and pencils out, circling everything I wanted in there for Christmas. There was no social media. There was no such thing as going online and Amazon. There was no such thing as that. The only way you got to even see the new toys out was through these catalogs that came in the mail. And trust me, that was fights. And if your brother or sister was mean enough to rip out a page, yeah, them fights, that's a war going on at the toy section. I'm telling you right now, there's a whole lot of fights that broke out because somebody ripped out a page or two of the toy section in the Sears catalog. That's how we did it. But we were dreaming. We wanted this and that. And you get to a point in age where you understand that mom and daddy can't buy all those things. We got that. But not when you're young. That you feel like they're going to get you everything, or Santa, quote unquote, we'll talk about that later. going to get you everything on that list. You're going to get it because you've been the best child in the world. And guess what you didn't look at? The prices. And sometimes they didn't even include the prices because they had a price list somewhere in the back or the middle of it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Didn't matter. That's what you thought. And you didn't have a problem asking. But then somebody had to do some sorting. Somebody had to do some budget. All those other things, but it didn't stop you from doing it. And that's the way many folks look at God and prayer today. But there are certain things that we want to look at when we learn to ask, seek, and knock. Prayer is one of the Christian's most powerful weapons in life. It is a spiritual blessing for those who are in Christ. Now that right there, whew, makes a lot of folks mad.
Yes, sir.
But I'm just telling you what the Bible tells you. It is a spiritual blessing that is to be observed and to be experienced for those in Christ. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to God in a good, effective, two-way communication system through prayer. God hears all prayers. Notice I said that. Some people say he doesn't. He hears all prayers, but he's not obligated to respond to the prayers of sinners. Now, does he do certain things? The Bible says he reigns on the just as well as unjust. So, yes, that's true. Can he heal folks that aren't sinners? Yes, he can. But does that mean that they're in a good spiritual situation with him? No, sir, no, ma'am. He's not going to just cause rain or not fall on somebody else's crop. And they could be the biggest heathen, the biggest atheist there is, and still have a better crop than you if they plant it and take care of it. So there are certain laws that apply to all things, to all men. Because he's no respecter of people in many situations. But there are special blessings that are for those inside of Christ. This is a hard saying for many in the world to look at. So we're going to look and see what these conditions are. Prayer changes things. All can probably improve this area of their spiritual life. I want you to think about this for a minute. Think about something that you can improve right away. Most times, it's Bible study. We understand that. We all can. But if you're like myself, I'm just speaking for myself now, I fall woefully short in this area. I'm just being honest. Do I pray? Yes. Can I pray more? Yes. Do I pray when I need? Do I pray often? Yes, I can do better. I can do better. Maybe you're not. Maybe God has to work on you in some other areas. But oftentimes what you see is many folks only pray when they're suffering and in trouble. Now that's the time that I understand. But we should be praying steadfastly at all times. God wants to communicate consistently with all of his children. And you know how it makes us feel sometimes in your life. You may have folks in your life, and the only time you hear from them is when they got a problem. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm not saying it. But I'm saying even we sometimes get weary of that. Just being honest.
Just being honest.
Why are you on? You act like you don't know me when everything is going well. Somebody once said, you know, you want somebody to practice social distancing? Just let them owe you some money.
There you go.
They're not going to find you. They're going to be gone in a minute. They'll practice social distancing in a heartbeat. That's not hard to understand that concept when they say social distance a lot of times. We understand those things, and we're still doing it, but God wants a day-to-day intimate relationship with us. Can he help us in those situations? Yes. Will he help us in those situations? Yes. But we're missing so many blessings by not having a close, intimate walk with God each and every day. He wants that with us. He wants that with each and every one of us. So we don't need to treat him like that. One good example to look at, and he's weak, he's a man just like we are, is the prophet Elijah. Oh my goodness. You don't have anything to do. Hopefully you do. When you do have something to do, one of the good things to do sometimes in your own personal Bible study is just do a character study. I've done that before. Just do a character study. Don't just do people in the New Testament. Go all the way back to see how God deals with these folks. Because you can learn so many things about how God, who God is and how he deals even with us today. Elijah was a great man of God, but he had his issues just like we did. But one of the things you see with Elijah was he had a very powerful prayer life. I'm talking about a powerful prayer life. Elijah gives us a good example of why and how God answers prayer. And we're going to look at it for a little while this morning. Elijah also gives us an example of an effective prayer. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, this is what he says, there's going to be a famine. No rain, not even dew to fall in this land as punishment for Ahab and Jezebel and the evil ruling. And also, here's what I mean in respects, in this land for 3 years. Now, can you imagine that? Somebody comes in here and stands in the middle of Mount Albemarle and says, no rain for 3 years. What would you do? And this is a man of God now. We know God doesn't work this way in many respects now, but this is kind of what happened. And that was not a drop, not a drizzle, not a mist for 3 years. But then you see him going back to God. 1 Kings 18:1, he says that's going to be rain. What a powerful man that is. Let's see if we can peek behind why God responded to his prayer. And then verses 41 through 46, we're going to see asking, seeking, and knocking in action. Because you're going to see how it should look in our prayer life as well. We'll get that later. Why was Elijah's prayer effective? First of all, we must believe that God can and will answer prayers through his providence. Amen. Providence means God answering us through his laws of nature. God responds to our prayers in three ways, meaning providence: people, places, and circumstances. God can answer your prayers through somebody else. God can answer your prayers through just normal everyday things in life. He works that way. We must always pray in faith. Elijah was no superhero. Sometimes we just put men of God that are reading the Bible way up here and we way down here. No, sir, no, ma'am. He put, as some folks say, he put on his pants just the same way we did. His feet touched the ground. He got hungry. He needed sleep. He was even weak from time to time in his faith, just like we are. So he can have this kind of effective prayer life. We can learn to develop it too. God heard Elijah's prayers and answered them even through nature. And we'll get to this in a little while later in my lesson. Elijah sent his servant to look for rain. So notice he asked, and I'm giving you a little bit of preview when we're going to the end. His servant went to look for rain. But then he went 7 days in a row. That's the example of knocking. Some of us, the first time we didn't see a cloud, would have quit. Sometimes we have to be persistent in our prayer life. I've seen many folks say, well, you know what, I guess, ask God for this one time, and he, what? One time? That's not the example of knocking. When you read these verses in Matthew chapter 7, this gives the example, the mindset is in a present sense, and it's continuing. It's a continuous cycle. It's not you ask once, seek once, and knock once. It is asking, seeking, and knocking. That should be the life of a dedicated, maturing Christian, that we're constantly asking, seeking, and knocking for things in our lives, for God to do things in our lives, and why, and pertaining to what particular things he wants us to do. So we must, first of all, understand that God answers sometimes through his providence. Why did God answer Elijah's prayers? Because he was on the Lord's side. If you're not on the Lord's side, as I mentioned before, that's the first thing you must do. If you really want to have an effective prayer life, you must decide to be on the Lord's side. He spoke against wicked Ahab and Jezebel. When we seek to live righteously, God will bless us through our prayer life. Many times our prayers are hindered, and it seems like it goes no higher than the ceiling, because we're not living righteously. Just lay it out there. We're not even trying to follow his will. Amen. We ask things and we ask amiss because we want to heap them on our own lust. Amen. We don't see this with Elijah. Everything he did in this particular chapter, it was done to bring glory to God. Even when he wanted to bring his people back from all these false prophets, it was not done so that he could consider himself the greatest prophet of Israel. He was doing it because of his love for God and his love for the word of God. Many seek God's favor while sin still runs rampant in their lives. How is that supposed to happen? How is that supposed to work? Isaiah 59:1-2 says sin separates us from God. for you, me, and everybody else. Until we do something with sin in our life, we really can't have an effective prayer life. We must humble ourselves and obey Him. He was on the Lord's side. He was doing this for the Lord. He was a righteous prophet. Also because Elijah spoke out against Aaron's sin. When we stand for God, God always stands for us. And oh my goodness, do we need this lesson and this message in our society today? Because society will tell us and make us believe for those who stand for God and the principles of God in our society that we're standing by ourselves. Let me tell you today, no sir, no ma'am, we are not. We have God standing right there with us because we decide to stand for what He teaches and believes in. Don't ever believe that lie. You're not standing by yourself because He said you and I never would. Don't worry about what society says. We're not standing by ourselves. Elijah decided to win God's people back from Baal, the false god they were worshiping. This is proof that his efforts were according to God's will because he shouldn't have been worshiping a false god in the first place. We must always seek to pray, Thy will be done. We often don't get answers, our prayers answers, because we ask amiss. What does that mean, asking amiss? That means it's not according to God's word, maybe onto our own lust. It may be something that God has not even, we know according to God's word, is not, doesn't line up. But guess what? Self wants what self wants. And that's a big problem that sometimes we go through and have to deal with. Because Elijah had the right motive. Let's turn to 1 Kings. Chapter 18. We're going to spend some time in there. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse number 1. Then I'm going to skip down to verses 31, 30 through 35. First Kings chapter 18, verse 1 reads as such. And it says this. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now here's where rain's coming back. Didn't come back. First Kings 17 says rain's going to stop. Now he says, go show yourself to Ahab after 3 years, and rain's coming back to the earth. Let's skip on down to verse number 30. And it says this. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as to contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifices in the wood. He said, Do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also. We'll keep reading. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came in and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am a servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. Everything he did was to bring glory to God and bring his people back to God. He had the right motive. Sinful pride also causes many prayers not to be answered by God. Now, he could have easily said, I'm doing this to bring glory to me. Many folks in the religious world would have had it. If they'd done something like this, boy, their feet would never touch the ground. They'd have been passing around instead of 1 collection plate by 10 collection plates. They'd have been driving a camel with gold hooves on it. Talking about, because you know what, that's where they at right now. They've done these miracles, and guess what, they deserve all this. You don't see him doing this ever in scripture. He remained the same throughout because he was about doing the Lord's will. And also, next is why did God answer this prayer? See, because he proved God. He first proved that God is Lord to himself. Before you can tell anybody else who God is, you got to also be convinced who God is through yourself.
Amen.
We can't really expect God to hear us until we seek to know him. He is not a magic genie. Knowing God through his word and obedience proves who God is to us. One of the reasons why our prayers are not as effective as possible, because we ourselves don't even know who God is. We look at him as some big brother sitting on the porch in a rocking chair. God is way more than that. We look at him as some magic genie. God is way more than that. Search the scriptures. They tell us about who he is. That's how we find out who he is. And the more you know him, the more also, as some folks say, the more you realize you don't know, which the Creator desire to know more about him. That's the way your growth should go. The more you study God's word, the more you realize I don't know him. But also should make you want to know him even more, which again keeps that thing and keeps God's word fresh and new in our spirits. We then ask him to help us prove God to a lost and dying world. That part right there, as I think, well, many times, we as Christians drop the ball. We as God's church drop the ball. We are here to seek in to save the lost. Not necessarily to be abused, not to increase our giving, but to show and tell the world who the God we serve is. That's our mission. That's what the world needs to know. They need to see it in us. We need to be convinced. But that's what it means to lift Christ up. Are we lifting Christ up? Are we willing to lift Christ up and hide behind the cross? And also because Elijah continued steadfastly in prayer. Elijah went back on Mount Carmel and bowed himself in prayer. He sent his servant to look for rain over the sea. And let's read verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. Now, here's this example of asking, seeking, and knocking. Right here before your eyes. And he says this, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there was a sign of abundance in the rain. So Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the mount, the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." We could easily be said that's his prayer prostrate position. Notice what it says in verse number 43. "And said to his servant, go now look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times." He asked God for rain. Now he's seeking. Not just seeking to prove God wrong, but he's seeking, believing that it's already happened. He could have said, "Servant, don't worry about it. You know what? We just going to see. I don't know if God's going to come through this time." Why did he tell him to go back seven times? Well, seven has a significant number when you look at numerology in the Bible as completion. But why do you think it took seven times? We don't always know why. But the seeking part was every time he went, he was supposed to go believing. Every time we go to God in prayer, we ought to be asking in faith. So he asked. Asking, seeking, and not a knocking. Where's it going? Let's see what else it says. "And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not." Now wait a minute. He saw something way off in the distance, a little cloud about the size of my fist or my hand. How many of y'all would have said it's about to rain? How many of you would have had enough faith to say it's about the bottom about to fall out, as we sometimes say in the country? How many of y'all would have had that much faith? How many of you would have waited until you felt the first drop? Do you see the faith here that he was already asking in? Do you see the faith we should be asking our prayers and faith in? Not doubting. He already knew the answer. He already knew. God had already told him in 1 Kings 18:1 that it was going to happen. So what's he doubting for? So when God tells us certain things are going to happen in the scripture, why do we doubt? Why do we doubt? He already knew it. So the reason why he was doing this really might have been even for his servant. Elijah didn't doubt at all. You can see that. He already knew. He'd already been proven 3 years before the first time he made this prophecy and realized it hadn't made a drop in 3 years that God was a faithful God. Now, let's talk about this in your own situation. Has God not come through for you in the past? Has he not delivered you when nobody else could in your past? So why do we doubt him? When he told you something was going to happen, he showed you something, he brought you through something, a storm in your past, 10 years ago, why do you doubt what he says today? Amen. Why do I doubt what he says today? Elijah didn't. He asked, he sought, and he knocked. Elijah fully expected God to make it rain based on his prayers and God being faithful. Now let's talk about how God answers prayer. Got time for this. I won't rush through it. I won't keep it too long. I got time to cover this. I don't want to leave you hanging on this. We talked about why he answers prayers. Now let's talk about how he answers prayers. First of all, before we even get to that, we must believe that God hears our prayers and respond to them first. Unbelief right there is a 100% key, 100% determination that your prayers won't be answered. If you go to God in unbelief, not because I said it, read the book of James. An unstable man. A doubtful man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Doubt is the number one killer of an effective prayer life. Don't even go any further. If you go into God like this, God, I don't know if you can. You know, this is a little over me. You know, I know how I look. You ain't got nothing else better to do, God, than you deal with my problem. Come on now. That's not how we approach God. Unbelief halts it. We pray in secretly, but God openly. Ask rewards openly. But also, look at what happened to us in Acts chapter 10. Look at our example in Acts chapter 10, 1 through 4. He heard Cornelius' prayer. He heard it, but he had to respond to the gospel before he responded to it. Luke 18 and 1, all the way through verse number, also talks about the fact that we must continue to ask, seek, and knock as well. So how does God answer prayers? Sometimes God says no, and that's hard for us to take. 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 23, David prayed fervently for the life of his child with Bathsheba. God said no, because of David's sin against it. But even when he answers no, we must trust that it will always work out for our ultimate good. God always knows what's best. No, contrary to popular opinion, is not a bad word. I learned that too through my life. No is not a bad word. Sometimes we think it is. We don't want to be told no. Sometimes no. I won't tell nobody no. Well, guess what? You're about to have your life full of doing everybody else's stuff. All the time. Even sometimes crowding out God. No is not a bad word. So sometimes he says no. But sometimes he says yes. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11. Isaiah told Hezekiah that he would die from his illness. Hezekiah then prayed that God would extend his life. And before Isaiah left the courtyard, God sent him back to tell Hezekiah that he had been blessed for 15 more years. Sometimes prayers is yes. The answer is yes. I care. Hezekiah was a righteous man. He was not a perfect man. But oh my goodness, he blessed him with many more years. Sometimes God adds to our blessings. And this is the type of God that we serve. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Now we talk about Solomon and all the blessings he had. But you know that the question that really blows our mind before Solomon, and some folks say went left, when God asked him to ask him anything he wanted, his heart's desire, the first thing he asked for was an understanding heart. Now many of us would have said, you know what, I don't want that. I want $10 million, and I want it right now. If God asked you right now, just ask this your own personal question. If God said, I will grant you the wishes of your heart right now, what would you ask him for? Be careful with that answer. Solomon asked for an understanding heart. But because he asked him for the right thing, God then blessed him with riches and honor. We serve a mighty God. Maybe, just maybe, why our prayers have not been answered? Because we hadn't answered that question the right way. Maybe, just maybe, that's why it hadn't happened. Think about that for a moment. Think about what you have been asking for and requesting and petitioning for in your own prayer life. Maybe it needs to change in line with God's will. He asked for an understanding heart, and God blessed him with so much more. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. The church prayed fervently for Peter's safety and release. And while they were praying, Peter showed up at their door. We serve an awesome God. He ain't got to wait if he don't choose to. While they were still praying fervently, an angel came and led Peter out and had him knocking at the gate so much so that they were scared to death while they were praying. God didn't have to wait, finally. Didn't have to wait. Sometimes God makes substitutions in our prayer requests. Deuteronomy, Old Testament example, 3 verses 20 through 29. God did not allow Moses to go into the promised land, but he did allow him to see it. And then this one. This is how we need know we need to stick with God. Very powerful example in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. We know that's the example of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary and Martha prayed for their brother to be healed, and Christ didn't heal him. He died. But that's not the end of the story. Now, if they'd have given up right there and walked away, they would have missed something even greater, was to see their brother raised from the dead. Sometimes God's substitutions are a lot better than we ask for in prayer anyway. Think about that for a moment. Think about God says, you know what, Curtis, I got something better for you over here. Just ride with me for a little while. I don't understand, God. I want this. We throw a temper tantrum like a little child. I want this. I want my toy. Stop it. Maybe, just maybe, he got something better for you over here. Yeah. Trust him. If they would have just said, Christ, you did us wrong, and they were upset normally, like they normally would, but he substituted healing from sick to raising from the dead. Now, which one do you think was better in the end? Which one do you think is more powerful? Because sometimes God leaves us in our problem situations so he can do something greater for us. That's the mindset we got to have. And then sometimes God says, wait, this is what we don't like to do. Jeremiah 42, 1 through 7. The remnant asked for God's direction. They had to wait 10 days for an answer. We won't wait 10 minutes because of who we are. Job, one of the ones we like to look at all the time. Job 30, verse 20. Job cried out to God. But what did he get back in return from God? Crickets for a long time, as some folks say. Nothing. But, as somebody told me, you got to read the end of Job. Job cried out a lot. God was quiet for a lot of Job until you get to around Job chapter 40. Then he starts to reveal him who he is and puts Job in his place. But then, we know that Job didn't sin even in his crying out. He was more blessed in the end than the beginning. Glory be to God for answered prayers. Now, conclusion. God works through many ways to answer the prayers of his servants. He answers through other people, nature, governments, etc. We cannot always understand how he will answer, but we must trust that he will. Our main problem is this. We want to know when, how, where, who, and everything else. So I'm going to leave you this last message. Learn to ask, seek, and knock, and leave the details to God. That's what he asked us to do. Learn to ask, seek, and knock, and leave the details to God. He knows it. He knows exactly what we need, how much we need, what we don't need, who we need it with, who we don't need it with. All those things he knows. Because he's a loving father. Just like
my parents knew
that it probably wouldn't be a good idea at the age of five to get me an automobile. That makes no sense at all. What am I going to do except drool on it? I can't drive it, and if I do get it started, I'm going to hurt myself or somebody else. So they knew maybe with my maturity, once I learned how to drive and rules of the road and went through driver's ed, that maybe it was a good idea to start thinking about a car when I was 16 or so. Maybe then, if I showed a little bit more maturity. Why do we think God's any different? They also knew that when I wanted to go and hang out with my friends all night, that no sir, no ma'am, that wasn't going to happen. And if you come in this house past 11 o'clock, then there are going to be some consequences. Not 11:02, not 11:17, 11 o'clock. And I'm sitting there wondering why I can't. Well, you know what? I didn't figure that out until a couple of years later about why I couldn't. And then I was thankful that they didn't let me do it. Why? Because they knew best. They saw some stuff I didn't see. I didn't see danger lurking all around me. They did. That's the job of parents. We serve an awesome God who wants to bless his spiritual children. We just saw at the end, verses 10 and 11, if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts, surely our Father does. And why wouldn't he want to give his spiritual children good gifts? But our definition of good and his definition of good, oftentimes, as some folks say, don't jihad. They don't line up. They ain't on the same page. And that's where the conflict comes in at. So maybe sometime right now, you're dealing with some problems, situations, circumstances. Keep asking and seeking and knocking. But then go with peace in your heart that God is still in control. However it turns out, that will be done. Because it didn't always turn out well. I'm pretty sure that situation with David caused him much pain. But you also see a lot of growth out of it. You see, from that point on, David really being sold out and a man after God's own heart. It kept him humble, too. Sometimes our situations and circumstances, even the mistakes that we make in life, even just like Israel, Jacob, when his hip got thrown out of place, he remembered that he wrestled with God. I said, hold on, I may talk about that next time. Some of us need to be in a wrestling match with God. Throw a pip out of place, and you remember who you was wrestling with and who you controlled, who body slammed you, and who helped you up. Does that sometimes. What must we do to be a child of God? Once you hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Praise in Christ Jesus, makes us new creatures. And then, oh my goodness, the Bible says, and turn on to our prayers, our every prayer. And then he begins to work things out in our lives. He begins to sort things out. He begins to order our steps. He begins to help us dodge pitfalls. He begins to say yes sometimes, no sometimes, wait sometimes, sometimes silent. He begins to do all these things for our own good. So we know he's a faithful God and we can trust him. We just have to learn to do so. But the only way you do so is by growing as a Christian and continuing to go. But from time to time, we fall short. We don't measure up. We miss the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. So we need God's forgiveness each and every day of our lives. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism, over Christ, special prayer, we ask you to please stand.